Hey guys, welcome to the Fellowship Greenville Students Podcast. This week, Dallas Greenway is continuing our series, After You. We will be looking at how the whole church is one body with many parts in 1 Corinthians 12, verses 12 through 21, and how living selflessly requires using our gifts to serve one another in 1 Peter 4:10.
All right, we are in week three of the series, After You. And does anybody want to tell me what does it mean, this after you phrase? What are we talking about when we say after you? Does anybody know? Leo?
You hold the door and you say after you.
You hold the door for the granny at Chick-fil-A and you say after you, right? So just that picture of putting others before yourself. And we see this all throughout the life of Jesus and over again in the scriptures where God calls us to serve others, not always be so concerned with others serving us, right? Which we talked about this the first week. That's like my default is, hey, remember, hey, I'll lay on the couch, you get the Thin Mints, and just pop them into my mouth when I say go, right? Just, if somebody can serve me and I don't have to serve them, that actually sounds really great to me. There's far more life in serving and giving your life away than in just me or you crashing on the couch and having our favorite Girl Scout cookie place into our mouth, right? Even though that sounds really great, it'll probably get old very, very quickly, right? So this morning, I come to you bearing memes, okay? A few weeks ago, we had GIFs, and there was some argument on how to say GIFs. Is it GIFs? Is it GIFs? Is it Jefes? Or somebody said something weird, right? Memes, I don't think there's any argument on that's how you say it, right? GF, that's right. That's how somebody said it. I guess you could say memes, right? If you had never seen the word before, or memes, right? Man, rest in peace to Mimi's Steakhouse, right? Anybody ever go there? Mimi's Steakhouse? Man, I know they're closed. That's why I said rest in peace. A rip in the chat for memes. I've come to you bearing some memes, and these memes are about being unique, okay? And so maybe you've seen these memes before on the internet or something like them. Let's go ahead and throw up the first meme. I think there's like four of them. Here's a little cat. Being unique is better than being perfect. And I think they actually missed something on here, right? Because if they had made perfect, like P-U-R, like a cat purring, see? I should have made this meme, right? But these are a couple memes about being unique, and you guys know that one of the things you probably hear like a lot, right? And maybe you even think about is, what makes me different? Like, why am I unique? There's this desire in us to be unique, and it's reflected in our memes, right? Show us the next one. So there's a dog, there's a cat. I think, what's the next meme we got here? Oh, here's a, just like kind of a nice saying one. Don't be afraid of being different. Be afraid of being the same as everyone else, right? Just powerful. And I'm not saying these memes are either right or wrong. I think they're pretty fine statements overall, right? But these are some of the things that you see. What's the next meme we got here? So we had a cat. I figured we might as well put a dog in there. Embrace how different you are. I feel like you have to yell that because it's from the gentleman's rule book, whatever that is. And then it tells you to like tag somebody like it. It's what's going to set you apart from the crowd. There's power and beauty in being unique, right? And then there's one more meme. I figured, I mean, we're in the church. We talk about sheep all the time, right? Individuality, you laugh at me because I'm different. Ha! I laugh at you because you're all the same, right? I guess that's what that little guy in the middle is saying. So there's all these memes about being unique and standing out and what makes you special. And again, it taps into this thing inside of us that does want to stand out, that does want to be special, that does want to have something unique about us, right? Maybe you don't necessarily want to like stand out in a way that everybody knows who you are. Like, you're not necessarily looking to be famous or looking to stick out like a sore thumb, right? Or a black sheep among a bunch of white sheep. But you want something that people will know you for. You most of us do not just want to be like everyone else and just go with the flow. And actually, that's not a terrible thing. It's not a terrible thing to want to be unique, because that's actually how each and every one of us was created. We were created unique, each and every one of us. And you may feel like, well, but probably somewhere in history, somebody looked like pretty much like me, right? They tried to do like a faux hawk with their hair, and they had strawberry blonde hair, and they were pretty short. Like, there's probably other people in life and in history who have looked mostly like me, right? In fact, I get mistaken for people all the time, whether it's a hobbit or some late night TV host or whatever, right? Like people mistake me for different people all the time. But in the end, I'm uniquely me. You're uniquely you. How do I know it? Well, one, because that's how God's created you. But then two, just like a really easy thing to think, well, what makes me unique is that nobody has ever been in your same position with your same family structure, with your same friends, with the same place that you live, with the clothes that you wear. There are numerous things that we could talk about right now that make you unique just by nature of who you are. So maybe the first good news for you this morning is if you just feel like there's nothing different about you, I've just listed off and talked about a whole lot of things that make you different from absolutely everyone else. But there's also some things that make you different that, again, go right along in line with what God says makes you different and with how he's designed you. And each and every one of us are different and unique, and each and every one of us actually have a place and a role to fulfill with our uniqueness. All right, so here's what we're going to look at. We're actually going to look at some scripture where God talks about the importance of our uniqueness, and he does it through a guy named Paul. All right, so if you will, turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and we're going to start in verse 12, all right? All right, here we go. Hopefully you've had a chance to turn there in your Bibles, or just turn your heads to the screens, right? All right, for just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, sorry, getting confusing maybe for you, so it is with Christ. For in one spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one spirit. All right, what's he talking about? Here's what he's doing. He is using a metaphor to compare the body of Christ. What's the body of Christ? Like the actual physical body of Christ? No, not quite. But the body of Christ is all of us who have trusted in Jesus as our Lord and Savior. You're now brought into the family of Jesus, the family of God, the kingdom family, or as Paul's talking about it here, it's the body of Christ, right? And he's comparing the body of Christ, so the family of God, to an actual body. Okay? He's saying, hey, we're all a part of the same body. We're all one. We've all been brought under this thing. That's where he talks about like being baptized and all that kind of stuff. He's saying, hey, no matter what your past was, no matter who your family is, no matter your race, no matter your gender, no matter any of that stuff, if you have trusted in Christ, now you're one. Now you're part of this body, which, man, I wish we had time to talk about all the implications of that. But just know that no matter what somebody's background was, I mean, I listed off like gender, race, and those kinds of things, but no matter what their sin is, no matter what your sin is, if you put your faith and trust in Jesus, we are now one. We're now one. We're family. We're one body. And so he's going to compare that body of Christ to an actual physical body, right? So here's the way he says in verse 14, for the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot, so think about your physical body, if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. Can you imagine that? Imagine your foot one day deciding, hey, the hand is so much better than me, right? It must not be worth my time to be here. And then just like pops off and walks away, right? I mean, you're gonna be a little upset, I think, right? Like your life is gonna change pretty significantly if that happens. Verse 16 says, and if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body. There's kind of a play on words there, right? Because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body. That would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? So, what's he getting at here? I mean, he talks about, now he's talked about your ear and your eye, right? Can you imagine if your eye was just like, hey, man, that hearing thing, like I just can't do it. Maybe they don't need me, right? If they seem to be using their ears a lot more than they're using me. If they don't respect me, right? Well, and the things that I can do, that I'm just getting out of here, right? I mean, imagine how different life would be, even if you, like, just think if your pinky finger, okay? I don't know, like, what you think of as maybe the most insignificant part of your body is. For me, maybe it would be, like, my love handles or something, right? But let's just think pinky finger, because most of us have a pinky finger. Imagine life without your pinky finger. It would be pretty different, right? Like, You would have to learn how to pick things up in a different way. You wouldn't have that like extra little support right there, right? You couldn't do any no more pinky promises for you, right? Like me and my wife pinky promise. We don't do it a lot, but we do it pretty often. And I would never be able to pinky promise my wife, I'm not touching your toes. I'm not even going to touch my wife's toes like that, okay? Troy said you could do a pinky toe promise. No, we're not going there, right? Your life, whether you realize it or not, even with seemingly like an insignificant part of your body, if you were to list out, hey, the most important parts, and the pinky finger might be pretty low on the list, life would be different. And here's what he's getting at, is that without any part of the body, things would be different with your physical body. But the same is true without any part of the body of Christ, without any part of the family of God. What he's saying is that, I mean, sometimes you may come on a Sunday morning, or maybe you're hanging out with a group of Christians, or maybe you were on the retreat with us last week, and you may be like, man, if I wasn't here, like, nobody would really notice. Things wouldn't really be that different, would they? And it's easy to buy into that lie. Maybe in your small group, maybe you don't speak up very often in your small group, and you're like, you know, if I just never said anything, I think things would just kind of keep going on as usual. If I never showed up again, I'm not sure that anybody would actually notice, would reach out and call or text or say something at school. Like, I don't know if you've ever been there. I know that I've felt that way, both in church and out of it, right? Both in church and in, like, my family when I was growing up. There were times when I was like, man, if I wasn't here, I'm not sure that my parents would notice or maybe even care, right? But, man, that is a lie. See, what Paul is saying here is that just as every member of our physical bodies is important, every member of the body of Christ is important as well. And if we didn't have you as a part of our body, if we didn't have you as a part of our family, things would be different. When you don't show up on Sunday mornings, it is different. It's different in your small groups. It's different for your friends. It's different for us here in this room. I mean, we were on the retreat last weekend, the conference, and it was awesome. It was a lot of fun, but we missed you guys. There were certainly some missing pieces on that trip and on that bus ride, and we missed you. Things are different. And why are they different? Because God's made you uniquely you, and just like every part of our physical bodies has a role to play, you and I have a unique role to play as well. Paul goes on in verse 18, and he keeps talking about this metaphor. But as it is, God arranged the members of the body, each one of them, as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again to the head to the feet, I have no need of you. So Paul was actually writing this to a group of people who may have felt like you do. A group of people who were sometimes jealous of the gifts of other people. And on the other side, a group of people who said, well, my gift is not that great, right? Or maybe they said, hey, my gift is so awesome, like I have the gift of teaching, and so all of you need to bow down and listen to me. Paul was writing to a group of people who were confused on what does it mean to be uniquely them and be a part of the same body of Christ together. And he writes to them and says, hey, no part of the body is more important than the others. If any part of the body is gone, things are different, things will change, and so it is with the people of God. That all of us have been uniquely gifted, just like the ear for hearing, the eye for seeing, the pinky finger for pinky promising, right? Like each and every one of you has been given a unique gift, and you've been given it for a purpose. Now, what does this have anything at all to do with serving others? What does it have to do with serving others that we've been uniquely gifted? Okay, that's great. So I really am unique. God has really made me different. Well, we're actually going to look in just a minute in 1 Peter. So go ahead and turn in your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. But before we get there, I think there are some things that we need to think through as we're considering what are our giftings and how does God want to use them. There's just three things that I want to put up on the screen that maybe help us think. So as we realize, okay, we are unique, one of the things that we have to consider is our roles. Do we know our roles? Do we know the things that we're gifted at? Do we know the things that we're good at? Do we know how God has wired us uniquely, us? I was actually talking to a mom recently who was telling me all the things that her son is trying to do. Actually, it's the lady that cleans my teeth at the dentist, right? So as she was like squirting in my mouth, I'm like, right? The tuba? Yep, okay. But really, I was talking to her, and her son used to play football, but then she was talking about him playing soccer. And I was like, oh, well, what happened to football? And she was like, well, he tried that, but he sat on the bench. And so that's not very fun, and he realized maybe he wasn't very good at it. So he moved to soccer, and he's, like, really good at soccer. But before that, like, I've been having the same lady for a couple years now. Before that, he was trying karate, right? And then that kind of wasn't his thing. And now, actually, while he's doing soccer, he is trying to play the tuba or the trombone, right? I'm not bandy, so I don't really know. But he's trying to play an instrument. And I'm like, oh, really? And she's like, yeah, but it's like $6,000 to get a brand new instrument like that. So I don't know how long that's going to last or how good he's going to be at it, right? But what this kid is doing, and maybe some of you have been there. I know I've been there. I played just about every sport that I could growing up. He's trying out and seeing, hey, what am I actually good at? What do I have the most fun at? How am I uniquely gifted? And so for you, it might not be sports, it might not be band, but do you know how your brain is wired, maybe how your body is built? Do you know the gifts, the talents that God has uniquely placed in you? Have you figured those out yet? And if not, don't fret. I think that everybody has something that they're good at, right? Everybody has something that God has made you, uniquely you, for that purpose. If not, there's still plenty of time to figure it out. But are you going after it? Or do you just feel like you're hitting a wall, hitting a wall, hitting a wall? Maybe it's time to just try something new. Maybe you've never tried art before, but you might be really artistic. Maybe you've never tried a different sport before, and it is time for you to change. Maybe you've always been like interested in picking up an instrument, especially as you see the band up here, but you've just never done it. Well, what's holding you back? God's given you uniquely gifts. Do you know them? Do you know your roles? And then the next one is fulfill your roles. So once you figure out your gifting, once you figure out how God's uniquely gifted you, how do you think he might want you to use them? In school, in your family, but even like how might God want you to use them to serve others, which we're about to see in a second in 1 Peter, that our gifts, our unique abilities have been given to us not just so we would stand out, not just so we would be the black sheep and be like, ha, I laugh at you, right? But so that we would be able to serve others and live this after you mindset with our gifts. And then the last one is support each other's roles. Remember I said Paul was writing to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians? He was writing to them because some of them were like holding their gifts above others. It would be like us saying, see, I'm a much better athlete than you. Or when grades come back in and your friends got like C's and, you know, maybe like a D or something, and you just straight A'd it, right? You're just really good academically. And you hold it over their head and you're like, ha-ha, right? Like you'll never be as smart as me. Some of the Corinthians were doing that with their gifts, whether it was being better at teaching or praying for somebody or maybe even having more money. But God's given everybody a unique situation, made them uniquely them for a purpose. No gift is better than the others. All of them are necessary for the body to work, and each of them can be used to serve others. So in 1 Peter, this is actually the book that we're going through downstairs, right, in main services. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10, here's what Peter says. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as a good steward of God's varied grace. So again, what do we do with our gifts? What do we do with the things that make us unique? okay, I understand it's important for me to be a part of the body. It's important for me to support other people's roles, to not make fun, but to build them up, to encourage them. Okay, I understand that, but what do I actually do with these gifts? You use it to serve others. God's made you uniquely you. He's gifted you with the gifts and talents that he has, not for yourself, not just so you can build yourself up and build your empire and make more money than anybody else so that you can sit on the throne high above everything, but so that you can actually bend the knee to the throne of God. And just like Jesus giving himself, serving even to the point of death, that you would follow in his footsteps. Maybe not to the point of death on a cross, but certainly to the point of giving your life so that others might find true life in him. And that they might find true life by you using your unique gifting and your uniquely you-ness as you serve them in everything you do. School, sports, church, family, wherever it is you go, God's given you those gifts to serve. So every week we've had something about what does this after you lifestyle require? What does selflessness look like, right? And this morning, it's living selflessly requires using your gifts. If you want to live this after you mindset, remember we've talked about seeing the needs of others, talked about how to meet the needs of others, and one of those ways you can meet the needs of others is by using your gifts to serve them. Let me pray for us. God, thank you for bringing us this morning. Even if it's a smaller group than normal, God, you've got the right people here. You've got everyone you want to be here in this room. Thank you for how you've gifted us, for how you've uniquely made us, even the unique house that you've put us in, the family situation. It may not be what we would write out for ourselves if we were writing the book of our lives, but it's where you've placed us. And we want to say that we believe that you've done it with a purpose. So God, use everything in us about how you designed us. Use the things around us to help us understand how we are made uniquely. The giftings that we have, the talents, the passions. God, and then help us see how we can live selflessly by using our gifts to serve others. We love you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.